Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Now, two of the most powerful men in the world, Tesla founder Elon Musk and former US President Donald Trump, sat down for a chat last night, the live interview only getting underway after it failed to get off the ground due to technical difficulties on the billionaire's site X, which is formerly Twitter, of course. For his assessment of that interview and the showdown between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump between now and November, I'm joined in studio by Mark Rosell. Mark is Dean of the School of Policy and Government at George Mason University and author of a number of books on the US presidency and American government. And he's in Dublin today as a guest of the US Embassy. So it's our good fortune, Mark, to have you here in studio. You're very welcome indeed.
Thank you.
What did you make of the interview, so to speak, yesterday between Elon Musk and Donald Trump?
Well, I think it's important to point out it's not real journalism. Elon Musk owns the platform. He already has endorsed Donald Trump. And he threw a bunch of what we call softball questions at the former president in order to give the former president an opportunity to present his case to various followers of X. And so it was not the kind of thing where you fact check the information that's being presented in the interview, but only an opportunity for the former president to make his case before a particular following.
I've read that an awful lot of things were wrong said by Donald Trump. Let's listen to him slamming Kamala Harris in that exchange between he and Elon Musk.
They're doing it right now while this third-rate phony candidate, don't forget, I beat Biden. He failed in the debate miserably. We cannot have a Democrat. We cannot have her. She's incompetent. She's as bad as Biden.
So he claims he beat Biden. But the Kamala Harris showdown with Donald Trump, how do you see it going now? It's been going well so far for the Democrats.
It's going well so far because there was a real hunger among the Democratic Party activists and leaders for a change. Joe Biden just wasn't making it, and his debate performance was absolutely disastrous. And it was clear from a number of the critical states in the Electoral College that there was a very narrow path for Biden to have any chance of winning. And honestly, I heard from a number of Democrats at that point say, you know what, if we can just hold one House of Congress, that's the only thing that matters, so we can block Trump's agenda. They were assuming that Trump was just going to win. That's how bad it was. And when Biden decided to get out of the race and then he endorsed Kamala Harris, what was absolutely remarkable is how the party base, as well as the leadership of the party, just all got in line and all came together, which suggests that there's such a hunger among the Democratic Party base and the leadership to defeat Donald Trump. Because you can imagine a different scenario whereby the president of the United States drops out and then there's an open contest for the nomination that goes all the way to the convention, mm-hmm. which is actually what most of us expected to have happened.
In your experience view then, Mark, is this a honeymoon period for Kamala Harris and will it be sustained?
That's a critical question. Yes, this is the honeymoon period. She's the new one out there right now. The Democratic Party base is all excited. She's appearing before large fawning crowds. So that looks really positive for her. But she hasn't been in a sort of critical interview situation. She hasn't held a press conference. So that cannot be sustained over the next 80 plus days of this campaign. At some point, she's going to be challenged, and she's going to be challenged vigorously by journalists, and Republicans are going to spend multi-millions of dollars on campaign ads trying to drag down her positions on issues and her reputation.
And she's facing in the upcoming debate in a few weeks' time, a wounded animal in Donald Trump, wounded politically now, and he'll use every trick in the book, won't he? Will she be used to that? Is she a good debater, do you know?
She's a very good debater, actually. And look, a former prosecutor, she's very well versed in being adversarial situations, and she responds very effectively. Now, of course, Donald Trump is a whole different kind of challenge that she's probably not used to than she's ever had to deal with before. But I've watched on the campaign trail how she's performed when there have been protesters, for example, and I think she's been really effective in some situations that look somewhat adversarial and where she had to step up but not cross a line at the same time to look like she was telling people they didn't have a right to speak out.
Yeah. We live in an entertainment age, though, Mark, don't we? And to borrow a word from the Democrat campaign so far, it's going to be weird for Kamala Harris, isn't it, to debate with Donald Trump, who uses slurs and lies, for example, as common currency in a debate. Will she be able, as you allude to, for that kind of stuff?
I think so. She's come across as really tough and articulate. Now, that might be more difficult for Donald Trump, running against a woman in this particular case, to use some of the tactics that he was planning on using against Joe Biden. For example, the age issue was there, even though Trump himself is very old. But Biden was certainly showing a little bit of loss in his energy and in his step. And the whole Republican narrative now has had to change, to shift to a different type of candidacy that they're up against. And now you have Trump saying things like she's not really a legitimate party nominee because this was some kind of intra-party coup, which of course it wasn't.
I know I'm talking to an American government expert, a US presidency expert, and an expert on policy as well. Let me ask you straight up, Mark Roselle, do you fear a second Trump presidency?
I have serious concerns about it because of some of the things that he has said, that he has plans regarding the role of the federal government, our allies abroad, commitment to NATO. Yes, I have some very serious concerns. But, you know, to be fair, you can imagine that the policy differences between these two candidates on some issues are maybe not as dramatic as the campaign narrative is suggesting.
Well, only time will tell. We will certainly talk again, I hope, between now and November. Enjoy your time in Ireland. Mark Roselle, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.